Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here at Pastor Adam.
Hey.
Well, guys, we're at the very end of this series, Counterfeit Christianity.
Yes.
Crazy. And so this is episode 6.
Doesn't it feel like we just did this like yesterday?
Uh-huh.
And we're already done.
Yeah, it was fast.
Yeah. This is number 6. Uh-huh. We have done, you can go ahead and say your numbers first.
This is episode 250.
Number 6 of it. And I didn't really have a title, right? Like, the title of the series is Counterfeit Christianity, and the title of this episode is also Counterfeit Christianity. So I don't know. It's just a little summation thing that I wanted to do because I thought it was a good way to end it. So here's what we've talked through first. We talked through counterfeit grace. We've talked through counterfeit worship. Really good episode.
Yeah.
We talked about counterfeit humility.
I like
counterfeit
that one.
Community, right? Counterfeit community I really liked as well. And then last episode is my favorite so far, counterfeit repentance. That's just something I've been thinking about and talking about for a long time, so it was cool to do an episode on that one. If you missed one, go back and take a look at that. I really, really, really like that one. Basically, what we said was repentance is the number one tool we have in our toolbox, and you don't want to fall for the counterfeit version of that. It's too important to our faith. And then today, I just thought about wanting to end this by stepping back and sort of answering this bigger question of what is counterfeit Christianity, right? Because we've talked about these different pieces of it, right? So counterfeit Christianity has elements of counterfeit grace and counterfeit repentance and counterfeit community and counterfeit worship and all those things. But what is it really? What does it really mean in general? And I think that the most dangerous form of deception isn't something that's obviously evil. It's something that looks almost true, right? And that's what I think is happening with counterfeit Christianity. It's not something that, in our American culture, it's not something that appears just blatantly evil. It kind of looks like it's kind of true. Like, it's close enough to fool people. It's close enough to feel familiar. It's close enough to sound biblical. But it's different enough to actually lead people away from Jesus instead of to Jesus. And I think that what we are experiencing is a lot of counterfeit Christianity that seems okay on the surface, but really is just slightly off course that leads people away from Jesus. There's this rule that people that are in airplanes, pilots have. I can't remember the name of the rule, but it has something to do with a particular degree. Anyway, here's the principle of it. It's that if you are just a degree off, right, after a short distance of time, you are very, very far off, right? So it can, at the beginning, it can appear, like, think about it, if you got on the plane right now and it was supposed to land you in Atlanta, right? So let's say we're going to Raleigh-Durham Airport right now, and we're getting on a plane, we're going to Atlanta. That's like a really short flight, 45-minute flight. If that plane is 1 degree off, you are landing in another state, right? Not in Atlanta at all. You're popping up somewhere very, very different than where you're supposed to go, just from being just a little bit off track, right? And so I think that's the danger that we have with this counterfeit version of what it means to follow Jesus now in our culture, is that it's close enough where it seems okay and it's all right and it sounds okay. But over any sort of distance of time, you end up missing Jesus. That's counterfeit Christianity. And that's been Satan's strategy from the beginning, right? His strategy has always been a distortion of the truth, right? Mixing some truth in with some lies and keeping it enough truth to feel believable. If you trace back to the initial temptation of Eve and then therefore Adam, If you look back to the beginning of this, where what we get in our Bible, right, is the introduction of this and where sin ends up happening, is you see that he just mixes the truth. Like, it's not that he doesn't even lie to her. He just says, are you sure? This is his first words, right? He says, are you sure that God said that? You know what I mean? So it's just a little distortion of the truth. And then that, of course, leads to, sin. I mean, it's bad, but it's just a little bit off. This has been his strategy all along. So his strategy is not going to be to make this counterfeit version of Christianity in America seem evil, right? It's going to be to make it seem very close and similar to what it ought to be, but actually be far enough to where you actually miss Jesus. That's the whole point. So it feels believable, but it's not really. That's what we see a lot around us today. Modern Christianity often looks remarkably Christian on the surface. It's got the language, it's got the songs, it's got the conferences, the Bible verses, right? The podcasts and the merch and all the social media posts that people share. But the question isn't, does it look Christian? The question is, does it lead people to Jesus, right? If it's not leading people to Jesus, then it's not really Christian. And those two things are not always the same thing. Like, something can look Christian and not really be centered on Jesus. Here's the great danger that we have. We've become incredibly good at creating Christian environments, real good at doing this. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we call a lot of things churches that are really just Christian environments. Jesus never commanded us to make church attendees in a Christian environment, right? He commanded us to make disciples. So what's the difference in a Christian attendee in a Christian environment and an actual disciple? Well, a disciple is somebody who follows him, not the Christian movement, right? Not the pastor, not the speaker. You know, a disciple is someone who follows him. A disciple is somebody who surrenders to Jesus, not just gives their money to whatever Christian agency and organization is asking for it. It's somebody who surrenders to him. It's somebody who's actually becoming like Jesus, not becoming like some pastor or inspirational speaker or podcaster or somebody who writes some Christian books that you like, right? It's actually becoming like him. And I think that the danger is, I feel this a lot, the danger is that we're participating in counterfeit Christianity when we are helping people to become more like us or to become more surrendered to our church instead of more surrendered to Jesus and more like Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, man, this is a hard one, right? Because we still do these things, and I think they're important, but like, we brand our churches so much to where people are following and surrendered to the brand of this church, not necessarily to Jesus. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Like the aesthetic.
Yeah. It's a fear I have that what I'm making is I'm making good Union Church people, but I'm not making good disciples of Jesus, right? Like, it's not about the name above our door. It's about the name above all names. So it doesn't really matter how sold out you are to your own individual church if you're not being sold out to Jesus, right? This counterfeit Christianity that we've created in America primarily, right? It's everywhere, but America's like the mecca of it, is that we've got our churches branded so well. We've got these polished, perfect preacher speakers. We've got our social media firing where people share those things. They're tagging and branding and all this stuff. And it seems real Christian, but is it leading people to actually leading them to Jesus, or is it just making them good Christians to that particular church, good churchgoers, good church attendees, right? Like, he's not called us to, and he didn't die for us to make some cool Christian environments, slap the name church on them, and then get a bunch of people to attend them or sell out to those churches, right? The end goal is not to take all the next steps that your church leads you to, right? The end goal is for you to become like Jesus. He is coming back to not a bunch of branded churches. He's coming back looking for a purified bride, right?
Yeah.
Like sold out to Christ. We look like him. We act like him. We smell like him. You know what I mean? Like, we think like him. That's the goal. And this counterfeit version of stuff is us creating these Christian cultures that on the surface seem real good, right? They just seem really good, but they're just a degree or so off. And if you push that all the way from now until we stand in front of Jesus, we are leading churches that are leading people to put their faith in their pastor or their faith in their church instead of their faith in Jesus. And when we get to the end of that, just like with that airplane, we get to the end of it, we're going to be off course. And there's going to be a bunch of people who miss Jesus because they bought this counterfeit Christianity, but we sold it to them, right? And we were too focused on getting people to follow us than we were getting people to follow Jesus. You know what I mean? Like one of the reasons that you and I do not look at the numbers on this podcast is because I don't want us to create people who follow the Messy Walk podcast. Like, that's
yeah,
not the
exactly.
goal. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel that.
Like, if we get to the end of this thing, we get to heaven and we realize we're like, okay, Jesus is like, man, y'all did good with this podcast. You had, I don't even know if he cares, but let's just say he did. You had thousands of people listening, but only two of them actually followed me. All the rest of them were just kind of liked what y'all said and liked listening to Christian stuff while they were on their when they were on their treadmill, right? They liked they liked consuming Christian podcasts, and they thought your voice was good and they liked the points that you made, but it didn't really lead anybody to me, right? That is scary. Like, it's one of the reasons why we don't look at the numbers, you know, because the goal is to help people follow Jesus, not to help them follow us.
Yep.
And the dangerous part is we create, like, I'm saying churches, but it's all kinds of stuff. We create these things. Like, pay attention to your Christian influencers. You'll see this, right? Pay attention to the people that you look at. We create this stuff, and we get people to follow it, and we increase those followers, And is the goal at the end of the day to generate revenue and create followers, or is the goal for people to come to Jesus? You know, now anybody who creates that stuff is going to go, oh no, the goal is for people to follow Jesus. But it just so happens that we end up with all these followers and all this stuff. I call BS on that. I don't think it's true.
Right.
I think that it's very, very easy to create a platform. And then once it starts to kind of build, you begin to be very particular about protecting that platform. Mm-hmm. Right. And so you do things, say things, do things differently that don't really lead people to Jesus, but keep your platform going. Right. And you're getting your kudos and your pats on the back, not from people following Jesus more, but from how many followers you got and how much money it's making, how many people are listening, that kind of crap. You know what I mean? And that happens in churches too. I mean, that's been the number one enemy of the modern church movement in America. The number one enemy has been, are we trying to get people in seats? Are we trying to create attendees? Are we trying to get people to follow Jesus? And so we would do all these things and avoid all these topics and all kinds of stuff to keep butts in seats, right? So that we don't destroy what we have built, right? And now it's not about Jesus anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
That's the danger, right? See, when you first start the church, I know this because I live this. When you first begin the church, you don't care about none of that crap. You know why you don't care about it? Because you don't have it, right? Like, you'll take risks. You don't care because you ain't got nothing to lose. Like, mm-hmm. when we started the church, you were there, Steph. You started the church with us. We didn't have nothing.
Yep.
We borrowed chairs from the fire department, who about every
Those
six
chairs.
Weeks would take them back, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing we ever bought as a church with money was chairs, right? We didn't have nothing. So we'd take risks. We'd do things because all we cared about was putting people to Jesus. But see, when things grow, right, and you start to get more established and you have things, you have buildings, you have stuff, you have people— Now you end up taking less risks with the gospel because you are more guarded about not losing what you have, right? And that's the danger of counterfeit Christianity, is it more focused on making attendees than making actual disciples, right? Because Jesus has commanded us to make disciples, not people who follow us, people who follow him. Not people who are surrendered to us in our church, but people who are surrendered to him. Right, that's the goal. John the Baptist, we talked about this in the last episode, but he's the best example of this. Dude has this monstrous following, right? And his following is based on him telling people about Jesus. And then Jesus shows up, and guess what everybody does? They leave him and they follow Jesus. And John is like, good, right?
Yeah.
Like he loses his whole following and he's like, good, that's what's supposed to happen, right? Because we're supposed to be making disciples of Christ, not disciples of us. Or disciples of our church. That's the danger. Counterfeit Christianity often removes one thing, right? And this is what gets us off track. Surrender. It wants Jesus as Savior, but not Lord, right? This is how you know if you've bought into a fake version of Christianity that's not real, is you want Jesus to save you from all the mess that you've done and all your sins and save you from hell. Like, you want a spot in heaven. I don't know nobody who don't want to go to heaven, but you don't want him as Lord. You want him as Savior, but you don't want him as Lord. Everybody wants him as Savior. Right? That's not what it means to be a Christ follower and a disciple, right? You don't have surrender there, right? So if he is Savior, then he's also Lord, and I'm surrendering myself to him. Like, it wants comforter, but not king. Like, we want to be comforted by Jesus, but we don't be ruled by Jesus, right? We want the helper. We want this awesome helper from Jesus who helps everybody and loves everybody, but we don't want his authority, right? We want the good stuff he says and does. We want the heaven ticket, but we don't want him to be the one who gets to say what we do and what we don't do, what we think and what we don't think, what we say and what we don't say. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Counterfeit Christianity removes that one big piece, which is surrender. And you cannot have real Christianity. You can't have real following of Jesus without surrendering your life to him, not just as Savior and helper and comforter, but as Lord, as King, right? As God Almighty. That's how you know it's counterfeit, because it doesn't include surrender. One reason counterfeit Christianity thrives is because people naturally prefer a Jesus who agrees with them, right? A Jesus who supports their politics. You can take the sayings of Jesus and you can support any political party you want to support, right? You can change it around and twist it around enough to where it's enough truth in it, but it's got some lies in it, just like Satan does, and you can support it. You can give me 10 minutes. I hate both political parties. I don't like none of them, right? Like, all this stuff drives me crazy in America. But if you give me 10 minutes, I could give you a biblical basis for democracy and for democratic people, and I could give you the biblical basis for Republican people. I mean, very easily, right? You can do this. I mean, you realize that there were Christians who did this with Hitler, right? There were Christians who took the Bible and used it to back up Hitler and his political agenda, right? There were tons of Christians in the South in America who used their Christianity and their Bible to back up continual slavery, right?
Terrible.
And then there were Christians after that who used their Bibles to back up all the political rhetoric around Jim Crow and people not having civil rights and all these things. I mean, you can take the Bible and distort it towards any political view you want. And that's what keeps this counterfeit Christianity thriving, is because people want a Jesus that actually agrees with them, right?
Yeah.
Supports their politics, one who supports their preferences, one who supports their lifestyle choices or their worldview, right? And we can distort Jesus into any of those things. But following Jesus is not inviting him onto your team. It's surrendering to his kingdom, right? It's not getting Jesus on your side of all things, right? Like, man, this is a great quote. I'm trying to remember who's the pastor who said it. Oh, my gosh, I can see his face right now, and I can't remember him. Oh, man, I'm gonna steal his words. But, oh, well, I can't remember him right now. He said, Jesus did not come to take sides. He came to take over. He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over the whole thing, right? He didn't come to help bolster your lifestyle choices or your political involvement or your own preferences. He came to take over the whole thing. And that is the part of counterfeit Christianity that is so stinking dangerous, right? It removes this surrender to Jesus, right? So we end up getting people to surrender to other things and not fully to that. And then we distort who Jesus is. We bring him on our team instead of going, no, I'm dead, right? All that was with me is dead with Christ. I am risen anew with Christ. And so it's his kingdom, his way, his say. And I want to take my worldview, right, which we all have, right? And there's nothing wrong with your worldviews. They all come from the deep parts of your childhood, what you experienced, where you grew up at, all these things, right? But all of our worldviews, everybody's worldview, is supposed to be put into submission to Jesus and his worldview, right? Because it's his world, right? So his worldview is the only the view that matters, right? And so we want to take ours and it be consistently submitted to him, right? Surrender, right? That's the piece that's missing with counterfeit Christianity, surrender. We want to surrender that all stuff to him. So I want to take my political views of 2026 America, and I want to submit them to King Jesus. You know what I mean? Continually. Not just let me figure out how Jesus can be on my team with this, how I'm right. But I want to give them to him, right? Following Jesus isn't inviting him onto your team. It is you surrendering fully to his kingdom. This is a very scary verse we're about to read. Then we'll wrap this episode up. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is a really good section of scripture. And he's talking about fruit here. And then he leads into this chunk right here. This is 21 through 23. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Watch this.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.
Okay, this is a scary verse. So those people he just referenced, first off, they're using the phrase Lord, Lord. Right. And they are like varsity level, air quote, Christians. Like they are prophesying in his name. He doesn't say anything negative about what they're prophesying. Right. And they are, what does it say, casting out demons or healing? Yeah. Right. Like this that's varsity level stuff. I don't care what church you go to. You show me a Christian who is prophesying correctly and who's casting out demons, varsity, son. They are serious. They are seasoned. And yet, he says he's going to look at them and say, I never knew you, right? Depart from me. Because what does he say at the very—go back to the beginning of it, Steph. He says the first couple lines.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father.
There you go. Perfect. So the only ones are the ones that do the will of my Father, mm-hmm. right? In other words, are surrendered to the will of God completely, not their own will, not their own thing. Like he's talking about the folks that get into heaven are not just going to be people who are like, I believe in Jesus, I follow Jesus, and I've done some cool Jesus stuff. I'm on the varsity level team. I'm on the prayer team at church. I'm doing all this stuff, right? It's those who are willing to submit, surrender, that's our word, surrender their will to the will of Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. And that's what real Christianity is. Real Christianity is Jesus Christ is King of everything. And everyone, and every thought, and every word. And we are living in constant repentance of how we don't do that, and constant submission to him in him doing those things through us, right? Like that is what real Christianity is. And counterfeit Christianity is just a little off track, where it says a lot of good Christian stuff, teaches a lot of Bible, gets a lot of people in church, or listening to their podcast, or whatever it may be. But in the end, it's going to be God saying, I never really knew you because you didn't submit your will to the Father, right? Religious activity is not the same thing as knowing Jesus. That's what he just said in that verse. Church attendance is not the same thing as knowing Jesus. Bible knowledge is not the same thing as knowing Jesus. What the church has got to get back to, especially in America, is making actual disciples of Jesus, not disciples of the church or disciples of the pastor. There's too many people who, what your Christianity really looks like is you follow a person or a church or a platform, but not really follow Jesus, right? And that's scary. I like to tell my people all the time, if you follow me, ultimately, if you follow me, it'll lead you to hell. Right? Like, don't follow me, follow Jesus. And that is what real Christianity is, right? So I felt like I needed to wrap this whole thing up by just talking about, you know, that this is not something that's just rooted in you being a good member of your church, right? Church membership, we do it. We just brought it back recently. Church membership, joining a particular local congregation and membership is not really biblical. Like, there's nothing wrong with it unless it is where your real membership lies, right? Like, becoming a member of Christ's church is because you have surrendered to him as the head of that church. You know what I mean? not just your local iteration of church. And that is a dangerous road we walk down in church leadership, is are we getting people to follow us and attend our church and follow our church, or are we getting people to follow Jesus? Anyway, I thought this was a really good series. I really like talking through this stuff. This is stuff I'm thinking about all the time now. You know, if you asked me this stuff years ago, I don't know if I would have thought about any of this, right? But now I think the longer that I'm more seasoned I become, and the longer I lead, and the longer I see the church in the lens of the end times, the more I am convicted and convinced to lead the church to Jesus and to hell with whatever else happens with our little local church. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
Like, let's get people to Christ. And if that means they follow Christ and they leave us to go somewhere else, praise God. And if we're getting people to follow Christ, and that means our pews or our chairs aren't as full, praise God, right? You know what I mean? Because we're still leading people to Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
anyway, I just feel very convicted about this whole thing lately, which is why I wanted to do this whole series to begin with, is I think the church in lots of ways is just a, back to our illustration from the beginning, just a little off track. And in the moment, it doesn't matter. But down the road, it really matters. And I think that pastors and church leaders, those who have been called to be shepherds, are going to, that's what Jesus is talking about when he means that we're going to be held in a different level of accountability, is because when it gets to the end, I think there's a lot of people whose blood is going to be on our hands, that we've led them the wrong way. We've created really good followers of us and not followers of Jesus. And it's scary, and it keeps me up at night, you know. It's the same thing. I think of it a lot when I think about raising my kids. I'm not trying to raise my kids to be kids who do exactly what I say, right? Like, that's not the end goal at the end of the day. I'm not trying to create little mini Adam and Valeries,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not the goal. What we're trying to do when we raise our children is we're trying to create independent, strong, godly adults, right? And the same thing is true in being a spiritual father or mother. It's not to create little pieces of us, little versions of us. It's to create them being disciples of Jesus and what they're supposed to look like in Christ, you know? So anyway, I lose a lot of sleep over this because it scares me. It worries me. Right? I definitely don't want to be them people that was in Matthew 7 in that verse.
Yeah, right? Me either.
And I don't want to look at it and be like, I don't want to be like the opposite of John the Baptist, right? Mm-hmm. Like if Jesus showed up tomorrow and everybody was like, bye, Adam, we're following him, would I lose my mind and cry because I just lost my people and my platform and my church? Or would I be like, home run, right? That's what's supposed to happen. Like, that's what John the Baptist does, and I'd really like to be like that. You know? So you got to not hold tightly. If you're in a leadership position of any sort, you can't hold tightly to what you think is yours or the way it's supposed to be. You have to hold that very open-handedly and loosely because we want people to follow Jesus ultimately, not us, you know? So, anyway.
Well, that's a great series.
Good series. Yep. Good series. My favorite episode is probably still the last one.
The Repentance.
Number 5. Yeah, 249.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I like this one, too. This one was just stuff I didn't know where to put it, so I thought we would just end with it here.
Yeah. Well, guys, we hope you really, really took something from this.
Yep.
And don't be afraid to share it with anyone that you feel like could benefit from it.
Sure.
And, of course, we'll let y'all know when we figure out the next series.
Which we have no clue about. We will figure it out before next week because we have to record next week.
As y'all know. So, just, you'll hear this later. We'll find out next week.
We'll figure it out.
Have a great
week. See you later.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.